Okay, so we're going to talk about the horizontal and vertical components. I rewrote the math of it. It's kind of definitions, really. And I want to think about visualizing this. So things... So there's my initial velocity, and then at later times, you know, like at the top, you know, the velocity is pointing some other way. And then impact, you know, it's got some final velocity. This picture I've made it pretty steep. Something like that. Now, here's how I think about this non-interaction, right, between the components of acceleration and different components of velocity. I think about that initial vector, and now I think about some time later, when it's still during its ascent, let's think of this as let's have this be gravity, okay, so the acceleration, multiplied by some little time interval delta t, okay? So this is depending on how you want to write it, it's like that. 9.80 meters per second squared downward. Okay. Little I hats and J hats point like this. So multiply that and it's constant, right? The acceleration is not changing with time in this example. As long as the marker is in midair and we ignore air resistance, the acceleration is the same. Okay, so multiply that by a short time interval, right, and get a little change in velocity. And this is how we think about it. We think about, okay, this has to point straight down. So we think of, okay, let's put a little copy of that downward arrow right here. Okay. So now, a little bit later, now the velocity vector is pointing this way. And if we wait that same time interval again, now it's pointing this way. Wait again. Same copy of that arrow. We're trying to keep the length about the same. That arrow just again and again and again. And so that's how we visualize. This is how I visualize the non-interaction of the vertical and horizontal parts. Because if you look, there's this common horizontal thing right here. The horizontal part of that vector is always the same. It's always from there to there. Any one of these vectors, you can break it up into a horizontal part and a vertical part. At the start, we have this, roughly speaking. Then the other part is the vertical part. And the changes are all happening in the vertical direction. So you get this picture of the initial. Maybe I should put little zeros on because these are all the initial ones. You have that initial one, but then what happens to this thing? It changes with time. Initially, it's like this. But then it gets knocked down a little bit, so then it's like this. Something like that. I'm trying to be faithful to my picture. So 1, 2, 3 knocks, and then it's down like that. that so this is how I understand the non-interaction of the horizontal and vertical. So I think of adding arrows like this. This is a general way of thinking about vectors, is if you have two vectors, like this, the way to understand their addition is to put them together, is to make copies of them put together like this. Now, algebraically, it's much cleaner, of course. You just add the x components and you add the y components. Very easy. But geometrically, this is the kind of picture you should have. Other things, like maybe want to subtract vectors. The key insight there is to, if you want to subtract the ideas, the negative should just point in the opposite way. So you just need to add the vector and its negative. So here's a copy of A. Now there's negative B. Roughly the same. Therefore, this would be A minus B.
Questions or comments?
So what I have in mind is to do some exercises from the book. Just kind of work through some of the problems here. So I wanted to look at chapter 3 and I'm going to work through number 25. Draw the arrows, you can just do it with straight up calculus. You don't need to draw any pictures. Number 25, it says, suppose the position of an object is given by vector r equals 3.0 t squared I hat minus 6.0 t cubed J hat meters. Okay. Now, there's actually a problem there in the book. You can't really suppose that. There's something wrong with that. Can anybody tell me what's wrong with that? It's a subtle little problem. What does T stand for?
Time.
Time, okay. So if, say, T is equal to 1 second, then this would say the position was 3 seconds squared times a meter in the horizontal direction, and negative 6 seconds cubed times a meter in the vertical direction. Okay, position is not measured in seconds squared meters in the horizontal and second cubed meters in the vertical, right? So the dimensions are wrong. I mean, in terms of, if you think of it in terms of like how many time variables and how many position variables you have here. If you think of L as length, this is the kind of common notation. You put little brackets around them. And then you'd have, say, M for mass. Those are pretty much the only three you need for physics one. The dimensions of R here are kind of messed up. In the horizontal part, you'd have time unit, some time unit, whatever you pick for time. It could be seconds, but it could be hours or something else. Time unit squared times length unit in the horizontal direction. And the horizontal thing, that doesn't have any units. It's just a one in the horizontal direction. And then you'd have, now we're adding some number. The numbers have no dimensions. They have no units. Right? And now you'd have time cubed times length. But you can't add mismatched dimensions like that. You know, what's a meter plus a meter squared? Nonsense. Right. A second squared times a meter plus a second cubed times a meter is also nonsense. So the way to fix this, I think what the author had in mind is something more like this. 3.0 per second squared times time squared. I'm guessing he's measuring time in seconds, so he was thinking of T as not being really time, but time in seconds. So to make it, you know, time in, if T is, say, 5 seconds, then T squared would be 25 seconds squared. So to make this come out to be, you know, say 25 times 3, you'd want to cancel out that second squared. And then cancel out the seconds cubed here. Now it works. Now the dimensions are a negative power of time, because you just have a little seconds there, canceling out that positive power of time, right? Times a meter. As far as the dimensional analysis is concerned, right, you don't care about constant factors of 1 or 2. So in terms of dimensions, it's just these cancel. And so you might say, well, that's 1 plus 1, so that's 2. Well, 2 times a meter is 2 meters. 2 meters is also a unit of length. So just dimensionally speaking, you know, you just think of it as it's a length. Right? You don't care exactly what length. So that's the little fix there. And now, what does the problem actually ask us to do after we fix it? Determine its velocity v and its acceleration a as a function of time. Okay? And then it asks to determine position and velocity at a particular time. Okay? So this is easy. Right? So for the first part of the problem, it wants... And then for the second part of the problem, it wants... So that now it's just calculus after I fixed the little problem with the dimensions there. Okay. So you want to solve part A, we'll just start taking derivatives. Okay, so this is a t squared, its derivative is 2t. Now, but keep the per seconds squared. You might think we were going to have a problem, but no, it's going to be fine. And then over here, the derivative of t cubed is 3t squared. So we're going to end up with 18. Keep the per seconds cubed. And then here's your t squared. And then, again, times meters in the end. And you can check that the dimensions of this are valid. This is a speed, right? Because you have, you have a time unit divided by a squared time unit. So that's going to work out to be a reciprocal time unit. If you like, you call it a frequency unit. So there's the dimensions, and oops, I need two there. So that in both of these terms, you end up with a reciprocal of the time unit. So you do indeed end up with length over time. Okay. So this is the correct kind of units for velocity. Right? Well, I call it dimensions because I don't particularly care about whether this is meters per second, miles per hour, or furlongs per week or whatever. Right? So that's one way to make sure you're... It's kind of a little sanity check to make sure you're not creating utter nonsense. Do you have the right dimension as well? Okay. So that would be what the velocity is as a function of time. And then we just take derivatives again if we want the accelerations. So move this stuff. So this is just a constant, 6.0 per second squared. The derivative of t with respect to t is just 1. See here, I've got another constant. The derivative of t squared is 2t. So now I get negative 36.0 per second cubed times t. And this is my vertical part, this is my horizontal part. Well, all times meters. And you can check that, again, the dimensions are correct. You have a per time squared here. And then over here you have a per time cubed times a time. So in both cases you get a time unit, whatever you pick, to the power negative 2 times some constants, but in terms of, you know, whatever units you have in the end, it'll be something like meters per second squared or kilometers per hour squared, whatever. So ignoring the actual numbers and just thinking about the kinds of units you'll have, this makes sense. And this is the kind of units acceleration has. So we haven't created nonsense. Right? And so you'll notice that it was important to keep the per second squared and the per second cubed along for the ride throughout this computation. If I'd left them out, then this wouldn't, these answers wouldn't make sense. Now, let's answer part B. So for part B, you just plug in the 2.5 seconds, and in the first case, you know, it's, all the units are going to cancel out great. So this part's pretty easy. You see we have 3 times 2.5 squared. Just from that, and that's in the horizontal part. And then our vertical part will be a negative 6 times 2.5 cubed. Just from plugging in there. Notice that when you plug in the 2.5 seconds and you cube it, the seconds will be cubed. They'll cancel with those seconds cubed, just like in our dimensional analysis of the position. Okay. So everything is going to just, it's just going to be something, some vector with no units times meters, so it all works out. Right? Maybe I need a calculator to do the next part. I think, do it in my head, I think it should be 18.75. There's my calculator. Yeah, that should be 18.75. You all can check me on that. So 18.75 meters. When I distribute, 18.75 meters is the horizontal position coordinate. So wherever we set our coordinate system, wherever the origin is, this thing is 18.75 meters to the right of it. And then we have to go down. So I don't see 2.5 cubed. Not sure about that one. Well, that's about 15 and a half-ish. Times 6, so it should be something around like 90 or 100. Let's see. 93.75. Okay. So in this coordinate system, wherever the origin is, and whichever way is right, and whichever way is down, go 18.75 meters to the right, then go 93.75 meters down. That's where this thing, this object, is going to be in 2.5 seconds if it really does obey this formula that relates its position to time. Right. You do a similar thing with V. You have to be ever so slightly more careful about all these seconds canceling and so on, but... Let's see here. 2.5 seconds times 6.0 divided by seconds squared. So that would be a 15 per second times a meter. So that would be, to two significant figures, I'll just write it as 15 meters per second in the horizontal. And then what happens over here? I may need my calculator for this one. 18 per seconds cubed times 2.5 squared seconds squared times a meter. So you'll have seconds squared divided by seconds cubed, which gives you a per second. So let's see, 2.5 squared is 6.25 times the 18. So 112.5.
Yes.
Well, and negative, so. We could have a little debate about whether it should be 2 or 3 significant figures here. It's not terribly important. As long as you don't have something like, you know, 4 more digits than you should or 4 fewer than you should. As long as you're, you know, roughly the correct number of significant figures.
Just a stick.
Isuzu Type 4, both 15 and 112.
Quiet, please.
Say that again. When you got the B, you are 50 meters per second minus 112, can you also subtract them, or you keep it as well?
We do not subtract them, because this is the horizontal, this is vertical. Right? If you draw it, it would be like, here's your 15 meters per second to the right, and then down. Rather, I should make this shorter to make it more to scale.
But that's where the two meet, no, sir?
So, no, you don't subtract them, because they...
They're different in dimensions?
They're perpendicular to each other, right? They're vectors, so once you're in, you know, two-dimensional space here, it's not like if I go a meter to the north and then I go a meter east, that doesn't cancel out, right? So you don't, the 15 and the negative 112, there's no cancellation there because they're perpendicular directions, right? So that was number 25 from chapter 3. Are there any questions about how I worked through it? Yeah.
I kind of missed out on the last part where it says 15 meters per second to negative 112. Where do you, how do you get that one?
6 times 2.5, 18 times the square of 2.5.
Okay, so it's not the 18.75 number, right?
No,
it's
that's for position.
Okay.
Position, that was 3 times 6.25, and then 6 times 15.625 or something, whatever 2.5 cubed is. Maybe I'll put a box on it. Alright, it's about time for me to take some pictures.
I have a question about
Let me take this picture, then I will answer that. Okay, quiet please. So what's your name?
Ricky.
Ricky. Ricky asked, do you always have to put the I with the pointy hat and the J with the pointy hat? He didn't say pointy hat, I said pointy hat. Anyways, you always need the I and the J. Well, no. You can also write it with the parenthetical notation. So where did that go? If you don't like the I hat and the J hat, well, you don't have to write it. You just might have to read it when other people write it, right? So, all of these, if you want to write them, you can write them like this in kind of coordinates and notation like this, okay? And that's totally fine. Okay? There's more than one way to describe vectors.
Okay.
From a mathematician's point of view, a vector is just a list of numbers. If it's a two-dimensional vector, it's a list of two numbers. Once you've selected, you know, which way is horizontal and which way is vertical. So, if you like it, write it that way. Write it that way. But be familiar with both ways, because you may have to read other people that sometimes write it this way or sometimes write it that way. The geometrical way to think about the vector is that it has a length, or more correctly speaking, a magnitude, right? Because a speed, say, would be the magnitude of this vector, which isn't really a length. Right? It has a magnitude and it has a direction. Right? The geometric way of thinking is nice because you don't have to say which way is horizontal and vertical. You just say, well, it's this direction with such and such a magnitude. But yeah, there's more than one way to write it. I imagine that if you try to type things up on a computer, you'd have to work a little bit harder to actually correctly get an I hat and a J hat. If you use the right kind of software, you could get it. But it's easier to type this into a computer.
So instead of 18.75 meters,
and then I put AX and then minus 93.75 KY. Yeah. If you want to write two equations instead of one, you can do that.
It's because we always write those.
All right. Should we do another one?
Yes.
All right. Let's look at number. I was thinking about number 46.
Same chapter?
Same chapter. So there's a picture for this one, so if you brought your book, turn to page 78. 46. Alright. You've got this kind of picture. It looks like somebody's got a cannon or a slingshot or something at the edge of a cliff there. A projectile is shot from the edge of a cliff 115 meters above ground level with an initial speed of 65 meters per second at an angle of 35 degrees with the horizontal three significant figures on the angle and on the speed, as shown in figure 3-44. So it looks like all the inputs to the problem have three significant figures. So my answers will probably have three significant figures as well. By the way, if your calculator's in radian mode, then that's how you get the right answer. This is the radian measure of the angle. And then it said the magnitude, which you might see just written like that, that would be the speed. So this is initial, so I'll put a little subscript 0 on it. Is supposed to be 65 meters per second. Well, three significant figures, so 65.0 meters per second. And then asks a bunch of questions about it. Determine the time taken by the projectile to hit point P at the base. Hit point P at ground level. Okay, so the idea is there's this cliff here, and then there's the ground down there. Okay, so I'm going to need to extend things a little bit. Anyway, try and answer a bunch of questions about it. Okay, so this something like this. Now, that's that point P. So that was the first question. Determine the time taken by the projectile to hit point P at ground level. Okay. So why don't I give some names to the other stuff? Let's see here. How about I call this, let's call the start. I'm going to just use some other letters. What comes before P? M and N. I think O would be confused with 0. Okay. So I'm going to think about 3 points. If I want to figure out the first question is asking this. Right? That's part A. And to help me understand it, I'm going to think about a third point. Right. Kind of like what I did last week when I was trying to avoid using the quadratic formula. I thought about where. Stuff like this. Where is it at the top? So, remember, the horizontal and vertical don't interact. So, to answer this first question, it would be exactly the same as if it somehow was like right above P at a height of 150 meters, went up and then down. Okay. So this is really a one-dimensional problem. You just need to know a few things. Figure out what is the initial vertical velocity, right? You break it up like this. So it's just a little trig problem, right? Opposite over hypotenuse. So that's all there is to it. Okay, so you can just compute that. That's not hard. Okay. 65 times the sine of 30 35 pi over 180. If you're in radian mode. My calculator is in radian mode at the moment, so I need to do this. If you're in degree mode, you can just put in the sine of 35. Anyways, so that's 37.28 blah, blah, blah meters per second. My final answer is just going to be three significant figures, so I probably don't need much more than this. It's an ugly seven, huh? I can use more precision in my intermediate results, but when I get the final answer, I'm going to round it down to something more reasonable. Okay? So now you just think about it in terms of a vertical problem, okay? So you have... So in terms of my positions M and P here, really, Y is just... the 115 meters. I'm a little schizophrenic about my Y, do I make them curvy or not? Alright, and then you also have the questions about the velocities, right? So I've rigged things so that the Y velocity at the top point is zero just by definition, right? That's the turning point. And I know this thing, I just computed over there. And don't quite know that one. I do know the acceleration at all times. So that's in my favor. Is also in three significant figures. Right, that's about how precise you can be if you're not given any information beyond we're on the surface of the Earth. So everything's in three significant figures still. So my final answer will probably have three significant figures. Okay. So, and we can just kind of by definition say that, what about the times? Well, you could just make this time zero, and then you don't know about that time. You don't know about that time yet. Okay? So this is not the only way to solve the problem. If you don't like introducing that intermediate turnaround point, then what you can do instead is set it up to get some kind of quadratic polynomial describing the motion of the vertical, and then you can just solve the quadratic using quadratic formula. This is not only a proof. You can always, if you want to try a different approach, you can try a different approach after class and see which one you like better. Right? Okay. So.
Yeah. So, just if you ended up using a different approach, you wouldn't really consider it wrong if they finalized with the correct answer.
I would want their approach to make sense, right? I wouldn't want a bunch of nonsense and then magically the right answer appears, right? I would want a valid approach that actually explains how they got what they got. Right? Sorry, I shouldn't talk about you all in the third person like that. you don't have to take my approach. You have to, but you do need to take a reasonable approach. Right? I want you to explain things. Sure. Right? So this is one way to explain whatever the answer is going to be. There are other ways to explain it, but not all explanations are valid. Right? But whether or not they're valid is not the same as whether it's identical with my explanation. There's more than one way to do it. Okay? So. Okay. So if you remember We have this nice little trick here from the one-dimensional case. So same thing, but now with y's. I guess that should be a piece of y there. Right. So this stuff comes in again. And you also use the... change. We have this kind of relationship here between change in position and change in square of speed. Then we have another relation between change in velocity and change in time, right? Now these only work because Ay is constant, right? It's always that negative 9.80 meters per second squared. If Ay was not constant, then you'd have to do the things with the integrals, right? We talked about those last week, right? In general, you'd have to do some integrals. But if your acceleration is constant, you can get some simplifying formulas like that. So that's really all you need to kind of fill in the blanks here. So for example, you want to know how much higher is it, right? It'll be the 115 meters plus the change from m to n. How much does it change? Well, just take the change in speed squared divided by twice the acceleration. So what's the change in speed? It goes from this to zero. But really you have to look at the change in the square. So you'd have 37.28 meters per second squared divided by negative 2 times 9.80 meters per second. So you see the negative signs cancel. And in here you'll have meters squared per second squared. So one of those meters cancels out with the meter there. The per squared, or per second squared, cancels with the per second squared down there. So this does come out to be the same unit, so it'll be in meters. Okay. 115. Okay. In my calculator. Let's see what we get. Usually, if you're trying to get a final answer of, say, three significant figures, in your intermediate values, you know, give yourself like four or five significant figures. But you don't need to keep like 10 significant figures in all your intermediate values, right? Because they're not going to change a final answer of three significant figures.
Good. Where'd you get the negative 2 on the bottom, sir?
Right, 2 times negative 9.8. Yeah. So the negative signs will cancel, so this fraction will be a positive number of meters. I'm getting 185.9 meters. Okay? Yeah. So it's about, this should, according to my calculator, this comes out to be roughly 71 meters. And then I continue to make progress. I can also figure out, I can fill in all the blanks here. What about the time? Well, it's going to be the change in time from zero, so just the change in velocity divided by the acceleration. So the change in velocity would be from 37.28 to 0, so negative 37.28 divided by negative 9.28. Okay? It's about 3.804 seconds. Once you cancel a meter, cancel per second, and then you have division by a per second, so that becomes a second. And I can just keep going until I get to what I want. So now I know everything there is to know about the top. I know the position, Well, I know the at least in the vertical part of this, I know the vertical position, I know the vertical velocity, it's kind of zero by definition, I know the time. Let me go a little further. Let's get to that, okay? So, I'm going to use this equation again to figure out what is the velocity here, right? So, there's going to be the change in velocity is from zero, or rather the change in squared velocity will be from zero squared to whatever this velocity is squared. I guess there's supposed to be a y on it or something. The vertical part of velocity. So the change in vertical squared velocity. So it's going to be that. And it's supposed to be 2 times 9.80 meters per second squared times what? Times the change in position of, well, how far down are we going? We're going down we're going down 185.9 meters, so. Right, because we figured out that was the top height, and there's our bottom height. Okay, so you can take a square root. And we know that we're going down, so this should be a negative number. Okay, so you got to take the square root of all this. So, square root of 2 times 9.8 times 185. So notice that the units here are meters times meters per second squared. So this is meters squared per second squared. So if you take a square root, you will get meters per second. Okay. And then you want to know, okay, what about the time? Right, what time is it? Well, now we use this equation. Okay, so that's the next thing. So this time interval will be the change in velocity. Okay, so I have to think carefully. What are the velocities? So we have a velocity it was vertical velocity we're talking about. Vertical velocity 0, vertical velocity about negative 60 meters per second. Okay. So that's a change towards the negative. And divided by negative 9.8 meters per second squared. Okay. So about 6.159 seconds. Okay. So I have that time interval from the highest point to hitting the floor there. Hitting the ground down there. And then we also figured out already the earlier time interval. It took about 3.8 seconds from launch to apex, to highest point there. So the answer now to the part A is you take your 3.804 and your 6.159, and I'll round it to 3 significant figures. About 10 seconds. Okay. you have constant acceleration, in a lot of these kinds of problems, I just use those over and over and over again. There was some more stuff to this question. Let me do like the horizontal part. The horizontal part wants to know what is XP. Really? What is the horizontal distance that it travels? Okay. Now to figure out that, you need the horizontal component of the initial velocity. I've rounded it to four significant figures there. Okay? This is really easy because there's no acceleration at all in the horizontal direction. All the acceleration is vertical. Okay? So it's just the very basic stuff, right? Change in horizontal position will just be the same old horizontal velocity, which will never change, times change in time, okay? In terms of the integrals, this horizontal velocity is a constant. Right. So you can always pull it out of the integral. Right? If you think about it from a calculus perspective, but you've had to solve, you know, all sorts of little algebra problems, I'm sure, going way back, you know, in your education, you know, that involved like, I don't know, the train is going at this speed, where will it be in an hour, and this kind of stuff. But this is, you know, there's not that much to it. Okay. I've got the horizontal speed, and from the first part of the problem, I got the time. Okay, so it's just going to be uh, 53.25 meters per second times 9.96 seconds. If I'm worried about round-off error, I could put in... Well, my calculator gives me some more significant figures on this, so I could keep what I know from what my calculator told me about adding these. And then I could do the multiplication and then round off. Okay, so I get this, then I round it... I round it, and I get 531 meters to three significant figures. Okay. So you'll notice that my picture is really not quite to scale, because if we were drawing, now that we know more, we could draw a better picture, right? We could have 115 meters for the cliff,
and it's always
then it gets up to a height of about then 531 meters horizontally, and let's see, it was about 40% of the way through, it was at its highest point, so something like this. So this would be a more accurate picture now. That's an attempt to draw the picture a little bit more to scale. Right? Now that we actually know some more about the scales involved. And there's some more stuff to question 46. Some of it I already did. Like, one part is find the maximum height above the cliff top reached by the projectile. That's part F of this question, but I already did that. One thing about multi-part problems is you don't necessarily find the answers in the order that the questions are asked. Sometimes you find the answer to one part along the way to finding the answer to another part. So, like, this is actually the answer to part F of that question. I just ended up finding it in the process of finding the answer to part A. So the order that the questions are asked is not necessarily the same as the order in which you get the answers. The other parts, I'm not sure. There's only so much time here. I think what I should do is, I'm not going to get into the other parts because I wanted to look at number 91. But before I launch into that, are there any questions about what I did here? Let me take some pictures. Okay, so your question is, why do I have a plus sign here and not a minus sign? Well, because TM is just zero, right? That's how I set up my time coordinates. Okay, so I'm adding the change in time from here to here to the change in time from here to here. So you can think of this as, you can break this up into two things. You can think of it as TP minus TN plus TN minus TM. All right, let me. It's like this. Okay. That's why it's a plus. Okay. So it's this number here. And then this is just TN minus zero. So that's just the TN right there. Okay. So that's why it's a plus. One in the last 5 minutes. I didn't mean to shift that. Okay, stick with me 5 more minutes, all right? A boat is traveling where there is a current of 0.20 meters per second east. So, northeast, southwest. Okay. So that's the current. And to avoid some offshore rocks, the boat must clear a buoy that is north-northeast.
What is north-northeast supposed to mean? Fortunately, the book explains.
It's 22.5 degrees.
Okay.
A quarter of a right angle.
Okay.
So, kind of like, if you have northeast, that's supposed to be 45 degrees. Then you bisect that, and you get north-northeast. So this is... yeah. But the book explains that part. 22.5 degrees. Okay. So you have your boat, and... there's your boat, and to your north-northeast, and 3 kilometers away, the book gives it 2 significant figures, 3.0 kilometers away, we have a boat, all right, a little floating thing, and the idea is if you see the picture, the point is you need to go to the right of this buoy in order to avoid the rocks. Okay, so there's... So over here, you know, there's some rocks. And so you want your boat to go over that way. You don't know exactly where the rocks are, but you know if you go to the right of the buoy, you'll be okay. Okay? And if the boat wants to pass the buoy... 0.15 kilometers on its right, at what angle should the boat head? Okay.
So this is kind of flex your geometry muscles, your trig muscles, basically. Okay, so why don't I call this angle here 22.5 degrees? Let's call that alpha. Okay.
If you want to get fancy, you can call it its radian measure, which would be pi over 8.
Okay. And we have 3.0 kilometers. And then I have a little bit more here, 0.15 kilometers. Okay. And so we want to go from here to here. Okay.
And the problem is you can't point your boat and paddle straight towards B. Because if you do that, you'll actually go further than to the right than you wanted to, because the current is going to be adding to your velocity. Okay? So what you want to do is have a velocity vector, right, pointing this way. Okay? And then you want to subtract off this velocity vector to take into account the effect of the current. Now I'll tell you where you want to go. Now I need a little bit more information, which is how fast does our boat go? I mean, if we can make the boat go really fast, then its velocity vector will swamp this out. It'll be huge in comparison, we won't care too much. So the book says the boat's speed will be 2.1 meters per second, right, relative to water, relative to still water. So what we want is, why don't I call this C, okay? Okay, so what I'm going to have is I'm going to have my velocity vector speed. And it is going, and I'm going to multiply it by 3.0 kilometers. And that's going to be my change in position. Not quite. Really, I have to throw in the current, because that also changes my position. And I want this to be the B minus A, right? Okay? So I want change in position to take me from A to B. It's not quite. That's not quite right. It's not, the 3 kilometers, that's not what you want. You just want to worry about this. Okay, you want to point from A to B, okay? So you want to point in the right direction. Okay? There we go. Uh-huh. So, first of all, let's figure out what exactly is this. I want to know what's that angle, that bigger angle beta, but I think I'm running over time. Maybe I'll write something on the board and take a picture of it. I have to let you go.
Sir, what's going to be for homework?
That was earlier on the board. I took a picture of it. Yeah, I wrote it down earlier.
Friday.
Yeah.
Are you going to be on campus Friday?
I think I have